Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, welcome to Transforming Trauma, a safe space for survivors of childhood sexual abuse to learn about creative ways to find support, resources, share their stories. Transforming Trauma is about love, healing, community, and also joy and possibility. Most importantly, it's about transforming your pain into power one day at a time. I'm Eve, a survivor and coach working with survivors in a one-on-one Sharpen Your Skills session through Rachel Grant Beyond Surviving program. I help survivors integrate their skills, overcome resistance they might be feeling, and support them around obstacles and places that they're feeling stuck. And I'm so excited to introduce my friend and collaborator and dear colleague, who I'm excited to introduce to you, Cynthia. She's our guest today, and we're going to be chatting about what she's working on these days and what challenges she's facing and how she's doing it. So just a brief bio. Cynthia works with Incest Resources, the first organization for survivors of childhood sexual abuse in the country. IR is an all-survivor, all-volunteer organization affiliated with the Cambridge Women's Center in Massachusetts. Cynthia leads writing as healing workshops and survivor support groups, assists with arts-based and body-based workshops, prepares the room for monthly drop-in groups, and is involved in fundraising activities. Her focus right now is on the Birch House, a dedicated space for survivors of incest and childhood sexual abuse. Knowing that there's a great need for survivors to have their own physical space for safety and agency over their own healing process, Cynthia has a dream of such a space, and it is slowly shaping into reality. Because the IR founder will retire, this transition to leadership into the survivor community has just begun, and Cynthia is a big part of that. She's worked also with the Survivor Theater Project as a performer, a workshop leader, and on the leadership team. She's helped edit 2 survivor memoirs, Plaid, and also Healing My Life from Incest to Joy. And she's created a blog, the Spiral Staircase of Healing.blogspot.com, which I'll include in the show notes. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Cynthia.
Hello, Eve. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I wish people could see the big smile on my face, because it's amazing to be here in a space where I can talk about healing. When I first started this journey, I never could have imagined this. It feels, all of a sudden, it just feels really good. And you made me sound awesome.
You are awesome, and this does feel so good to me. There are some months when I'm thinking, I cannot do this month. I absolutely do not want to do this. I cannot. And then I realized that it is the act of using my voice and lifting other survivors' voices and listening to them that is the most healing thing, one of the most healing things I've ever been part of. And I know from our years of knowing each other that you share my love of survivors and working with them and being on this healing journey together. So thank you again and warm welcome. I'm delighted to get to share you with Transforming Trauma listeners. So yeah, let's get started. How did you come to doing this work in nonprofit leadership? I know you've recently been taking a course, and I'm really curious to hear what led to that and what have been some highlights for you.
The course that I'm taking is, it's through the Institute for Nonprofit Practice, which is about developing leadership among people of color and women, and just kind of working more grassroots and bringing people up. And when I realized that Incest Resources founder Elaine Westerlin was going to be retiring, I thought, oh, well, we all need to step up in the survivor community. And I thought, okay, getting ready to do more work with Incest Resources and take on more of a role, an active role, a really active role as a volunteer, would require some skills. And like running a marathon, you can't just go out the next day and do it. You have to start early. So that is why I decided to go with this program, because they work with other nonprofits and it builds networking and just lots of just hands-on and real experiences that I thought is so vital for making sure that the survivor community can do well.
Wow, that's incredible. I'm so happy for you and grateful that you've been going through this course. I can't wait to talk to you more about it in the weeks and months to come. And it's, I think, like you said, the time is now, and these are not skills that we are often equipped with when we come to this work, which I know that we didn't sign up for, you know, like early on in life. So I know that this is really important to you, and it's such a testament to your commitment and passion for this work that you would take the course and want to continue investing in being a leader in the community. So that's awesome.
Well, just think about the word leader in general, like you taking over and doing this podcast and all the work you're doing with survivors and all of this. I mean, when you think about our healing journeys and when they started, it was like a fairy tale, like, oh, that, like, maybe you'll get to a point where you feel quote-unquote normal. But the idea of, like, leading something and knowing, yes, actually, yes, I am capable. I'm more than capable is really amazing. And it's not, when you were talking about like some days about months and stuff, I don't want to sound overly like this has been so easy, because I've had my days too. I mean, just yesterday I had a day where I was like, I don't think I can get off the couch today. And, you know, it's just recognizing like, okay, this is part of the cycle. This is part of the spiral. Like, I've been in this spot before, but I'm not going to be here as long as I was. And I'm just in a different place to recognize it for what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's really important for leaders, especially in the survivor community, to be able to acknowledge and be truthful about the fact that we still do have hard days and moments and, you know, months and, you know, even years, and that it's not all like what we kind of project when we're smiling and we're out there leading, that's it's okay. And that it's actually vital that leaders just in general show their humanity so that the people that they're leading can show up as they are and recognize that they are worthy and that they are okay and that they have so much to offer and that it's totally normal to struggle. And like, I could go on a whole existential rant about this, but those are the leaders that I want to learn from and that I want to be.
Yeah.
I agree.
You mentioned, you know, challenges that you've been navigating lately. What's sort of a coping tool or strategy that helps you to weather those days?
Well, I think part of it is just acknowledging that I'm having a bad day rather than, as you said a moment ago, like a smile on our face. And I mean, when I have those smiles about leadership, that's genuine. Whereas before, I would have the smile on my face to just use it as a coping skill, sort of like not revealing, not saying what's really going on, just trying to fake it through. And so now I'm able to communicate and say to, for example, send a text to a friend and say, you know what, I'm just having a hard day today. I appreciate that you reached out. Just knowing that helps. And just by me articulating I'm in a bad spot it's been huge. And taking some time to just remind myself, like, okay, don't let my thoughts eat me up, because I am learning better self, self-care, but, you know, self-talk, where what I say to myself and, you know, can create my reality. I don't know if that sounds kind of weird, but, I mean, just reminding myself, it's sort of like paying attention to my thoughts and catching the thoughts sooner.
Absolutely. Not weird at all. That is
okay.
That is huge. I think you're really talking to self-awareness and compassion. And I was just thinking in your – I'm sorry. Were you still in the process of saying something?
You're good. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just kind of getting excited because I was remembering from your bio and, like, you and I first meeting in a survivor writing group, how incredible that was so many years ago, and for me, such a critical moment in my healing, and I'm sure it was a big part of yours. And wondering, like, what's been most helpful to you on your healing path? I'm sure it's not one thing, but what would you identify right now in this moment?
I don't know. I guess knowing I can be open about this, like, I choose to be very open about my survivorness and about my abuse, and that's something I didn't think I could ever do. And it really is, for me, I thrive on communicating with people, so whether it's writing something down or having a conversation, and just sort of, you know, knowing that this is part of my life. So when, for example, I'm saying I'm having a bad day, I can actually say to my friend, it's a bad day because, you know, I have to go, I got a phone call from a family member, you know what I mean? And rather than just saying, oh, it's a bad day, and leaving it at that, like, I can attach a reason. So I think it's the seeking out of people and other survivors.
Yeah, so much.
Recharging my battery when I'm just around other people and know that I can talk about my survivor in abuse, you know, talk about, not abuse per se, but talk about my healing process, and, you know, it doesn't have to be in separate categories.
Absolutely. What would you say, what do you like to do when you're not doing the survivor-related work in the community?
Just kind of, you know, I'm a teacher by day, and so I do a lot of things. You know, my teaching's active. I try to come at it from a holistic perspective and really just kind of put my energy into that, being with friends. I mean, I love volunteering. I love, like, making connections. I love going to secondhand shops and, you know, just kind of, I don't know, just being with friends and just going to my yoga classes. Not that, you know, for me it's more the spiritual practice, but somehow anchoring myself back into my body is something that I didn't realize how huge and helpful that is.
Everything you're saying, I just want to be, like, nodding my head frantically. It's really speaking to me, and I just truly admire you as a person, and I just remember not too long ago you're handing me a book and you're lending it to me, and just the notes that we've exchanged and the smiles and hugs, and I feel very moved and grateful, and I'm thinking about the Birch Studio and wondering if you can share a bit about your vision and maybe talk about the title a little bit, because I know it has particular meaning to you.
Oh, yeah, the Birch House came about, about 5 or 6 years ago. I had my own like mental, emotional, spiritual breakdown, which I'm sure many listeners are relating to or could relate to. And I just had to stop working. And the month off that I wasn't working, it's not that I needed to be hospitalized or someplace, but I needed a healing space. And that's when I realized there needs to be an actual physical space for survivors to go. And so myself and another survivor, we just have been active with the Women's Center. And when we realized there was a garage in the backyard, we're like, oh, that thing's got to get demolished so we can, recreate it. And as you know, because you're so huge and vital and been working with us on that, stepped up in the survivor community that, we fundraised and we are made our goal and are just waiting for some legal things with the Women's Center to be able to create the studio. So it's just space, like actual space where you know, like if you just need to know, like this is your room, this is a safe spot, you know nobody's going to be around. It's just it's nice. Sorry, I just got distracted for 1 second when
Oh, no,
my
that's okay. Yeah, thank you for sharing a bit of the origin story. You know how incredibly excited I am about this vision and that we've been working towards making it a reality. And I'm so proud to know you and Elaine and know that this is going to be such a unique and powerful space. I've firsthand experienced what it's like to step into a room for survivors.
Yeah.
Like being overcome with emotion of pain and power and purpose and just like all the C words, connection and community, and it just speaks to really the heart and core of what trauma does to our minds and bodies and spirits, and how we need this to nourish ourselves, and there is no healing without these spaces.
No, and you're right. You're absolutely right. I remember walking into the writing group, and just you walk in, and suddenly it's like your home in a way. It's like your spirit found its space, and it's like over. It's all of those things you just said, and it's scary and it's unnerving, but yet there's this level of like you're more connected with somebody, and you haven't even said a word. You walk into a room, and just knowing that we're all survivors immediately forms that bond. And it's like, I don't even know your name yet. I don't even know what your favorite color is. And yet I feel like I know you so well simply by the fact that we've all chosen to walk into that room to work on our healing. It's
Absolutely,
amazing.
absolutely. So just to close for today, because you and I know from experience, could talk for a long time, and I know that we will
Yes.
continue this conversation, but what does transforming trauma mean to you? You said early on in this conversation how kind of radical it feels to be having this dialogue in public, and I'll just say briefly for me, I started this podcast in my bedroom, and I'm in my bedroom right now,
Yes.
but I was doing it alone. I was doing it alone, and something didn't feel right. I wanted to talk to other survivors, and that has been what's been transformative for me. And so, coming up with that title was felt a little bit random at the time, like just trying it on like a hat. But at this point, it feels like it really captures my passion for this work, and I know that it lands differently for different people. So I'd love to just have a sense of what do you think of when you hear those words?
When you say it, that's so key about being with other people. And what just came to mind is the idea that that trauma can be transformed instead of what we all hear, get over it or move on or put it behind you or somehow it's not, it's supposed to be other. It's supposed to be in a box. And I think transforming, knowing that you, this is part of your life, but it's not all of your life. And it's amazing how something can grow. What did I read the other day that, I guess there were some devastating, when there were some devastating fires out in California, like these flowers, these wildflowers that nobody had seen in decades appeared. And it was sort of like maybe the burning down things needed, allowed for that richness and beauty to come out. And so I think about transforming trauma is that it's, we've always been there. We just need to get through to what we, to ourselves again. We just need to come out. And so
we just need to come out. That's so true. Beautiful. I love that so much. I'm going to take that with me. but there's more to say, and I hope that you'll come back on the podcast. Go ahead, say that again.
I said, this is why I keep, you say so many nice things about me. This is why I keep you on the payroll.
Oh,
just kidding.
Awesome. Yeah, so let's continue and come back on the show for sure once you're further along in the evolution of Birch Studio. But thank you for,
yeah,
for
and it's gonna
being
be called
my guest
Birch.
Today.
Yeah, remember, you're welcome.
Remember that you can contact Cynthia for any questions at her email. That's Cyn, is it? Mocho, CYNMOCHO at gmail.com.
Yes.
And Beyond Surviving Podcast is the name of the general podcast, and you can learn more about Rachel Grant Coaching at rachelgrantcoaching.com. And I'll look forward to hearing from you, listeners. Let me know what you think about the show, what topics, and what you're looking to learn about. It's so wonderful to hear from those who are benefiting and enjoying hearing the interviews. So thank you again, Cynthia, and thanks to all of you for listening.
Thank you, Eve.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.